It's not only people, and we've had some good examples of people, but it's also things. but starting with the people, I had a teacher when I was about 10 years old called Mr. Pennington. And he said to our class, right, we're all going to go and visit a place of work. We never left the classroom, so it's very exciting. And he said, there's too many of you. So all the boys will go this week and all the girls will go next week. Fine. Boys went, had a lovely time. Didn't happen for the girls. Just thought I'd mention that. I've never forgotten that. And he said, well, I don't know what the actual reason was. It may have been a very good reason. I don't know. But he said to me, well, you'll learn never to trust a man then, won't you? So. But you learn lessons because of what happens. When you share something and they breach a confidentiality, you learn you can't trust that person. And likewise, the positive side, that when somebody is loyal and year after year proves their loyalty and confidence, then you know you can trust them. This thing about people not doing what they say they'll do, I have to put my hand up and say there's things that I should have done that I haven't done. And we don't even meet our own expectations, let alone other people's. So we all fail at some point or the other. But there are other things that are untrustworthy, like test results for something like cancer. We expect them to be reliable tests and always come up with the right result at the right time, that it either shows that there is a problem or that there isn't a problem. We expect organisations like banks and somebody mentioned politicians, social services, teachers, clergy, charitable organisations, we expect that they will look after our best interests, and sometimes it doesn't happen. We expect that there should be equality of pay, but we've seen recently in the news that doesn't always happen. We perhaps all know some people, and maybe even ourselves, where we're not consistent in our personality, in our character, that one minute we're taking things in our stride and the next minute we're biting someone's head off, and the person around us doesn't know which kind of person we're going to be that day. So there's corruption in various countries we heard about. Thank you. And there's more than one reference I can think of to the story you told us about Balaam and the donkey, that there is corruption around as well. So I think it is important, like James Brokenshire reminded us, thank you, Paul, that not all politicians are corrupt and not all charity workers take advantage of disadvantaged people. But we have to just be aware of these things. So going on to what David very helpfully brought in, God is trustworthy. Mankind has demonstrated that at times we cannot be wholly relied upon. And we know that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in a greater or smaller amount. And I do just want to mention with things we hear on the news that for every extremist who murders, we have good examples like Jo Cox, who is a politician, was a politician, living her life for others and paid the price for that. So we do need to not throw the baby out with the bathwater when we're thinking of trust. But God is trustworthy. Some people think that God is out to trick them or punish them, and if I believe, then I'll be sucked into something. And they don't realise that God is for us. He is not like mankind. In Hebrews 13, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't have mood swings. He is consistent. He is always the same. Numbers chapter 23 says, God is not a man that he should lie. And his yes is a yes and his no is a no. We know where we stand with God. In Isaiah 55, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God's on another level. He is beyond what we would expect. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So it's not as though God, you know, doesn't have a tempting life like we have. He has been tempted, but he was stronger than that. So he has shown he's trustworthy through tests. And in John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, not just any shepherd, but I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, however, is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So I think, yeah, we need to realise that Jesus is the good shepherd. He will not let us down. He will not run away. But as with anything, we need evidence. It's not just good enough to turn up an interview and say, I'm brilliant. I can do all these things. I'm fantastic. I can run this company. I can do whatever. Yes, okay, well, let's see your letters of reference then that you have actually done things like that in the past. Let's actually see your work during the year and have an appraisal at the end of the year and see if you are measuring up to the words that you say about yourself. So we do have in the Bible the words that God speaks to us, but we don't only take his promises, we see that his promises are fulfilled in action. For instance, in Luke chapter 5, it's the story of when Jesus was in a crowded house and there was a paralyzed man, and his four friends took him up onto the roof, picked a hole in the roof and let him down in front of Jesus. And Jesus said that his sins were forgiven, and he realized that, well, you know, that could just be words, couldn't it? Anyone can say your sins are forgiven. Who's to know whether that's true or not? But Jesus said, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. And immediately the man stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home praising God. So God does want us to check things out and to look for the evidence of trustworthiness. In Matthew 7, he said, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And I think that's really a helpful thing to say, look for the fruit in our own lives, in other people's lives, in politicians' lives. If people have been undermining other people in one aspect of their personal life, can they really be entrusted with affairs of state and things like that? And when John the Baptist was in prison, he started to kind of think, I'm in prison. Was I right about Jesus? Was he really the one that was to come? So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And Jesus replied, go back and report what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. So again, as David was saying, God is trustworthy. He does what it says on the tin. I think sometimes we don't believe or trust that God would still love us if he knew what we were really like. And certainly we don't trust each other. If that person knew what I was really like, they wouldn't love me. Well, as I think was said last week, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to become good enough and then die on the cross to save us from our sins. He did it anyway, because he loved us just as we are. And that's in Romans chapter 5. And after Jesus died, there is that famous occasion when Thomas, who was one of the disciples, he hadn't been with the others when Jesus had appeared to them. And he said he wouldn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead unless he saw the nail prints in his hands and the gash in his side. But a week later, the disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. So Jesus understands that sometimes we might need a bit more reassurance than other people around us. And he will do that. He will come to us and reveal himself to us. So in response, we ourselves need to be trustworthy because we've been created in the image of God. So we need to be as similar to God as possible. And in Philippians, it says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So we need to be like a stick of rock where the word is right the way through the stick of rock, and wherever you break it, you're going to see that word. We need to be consistent with the nature of God running right through us. But we can't do that in our own strength. And the good news is that it's God who works in us both to will and to act according to his good purpose. So where we see our own lives as not being consistent or not being as trustworthy as perhaps we need to be, that we can ask God to help us with that. And that's also from Philippians 2. And in 2 Corinthians 1, it says, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And that is the whole point. We in ourselves are not good enough. We are not always reliable and consistent and so on and trustworthy. But God's Spirit enables us to become more like him. And the fruit of the Spirit, you remember earlier I was saying that God said, you shall know people by their fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit, if we let God's Spirit work in us, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, or you could say trustworthiness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is a warning not to betray people's trust. Jesus said in Matthew 18, "If anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone round his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." We can't mess with other people's trust. So my last section, and we're going to have the Bible reading for this section, thank you, Margaret, is entitled, "We Need to Put Our Trust in the Trustworthy God."
Sorry. The reading today comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 36, and in the Pew Bibles, it's page 981. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind, and it was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of the place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all of the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. May we trust in God and not be afraid. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. So this encounter is all about trust. First of all, Peter initially stepping out in faith and trust. And I think Peter gets a hard press sometimes, but I'm not sure that I would say to Jesus, "If it's really you, call me to walk on the water to you." I think that shows a huge amount of faith on the part of Peter in Jesus. But then he looks at the waves and loses that trust and faith and starts to sink. So the second aspect of this is Jesus being worthy of trust as he reaches out and grabs him by the hand and saves him. So I think we need to ask ourselves some questions. God is trustworthy, but are we putting our trust in him? Is there something that we're being called to do and we're looking at what that thing is and the wind and the waves? Or are we looking at Jesus? And if we're not putting our trust in him, either for our lives generally or for something that he's asking us to do, what are the barriers? So I'm just going to have a little time of quiet just to think about some of these things. Lord, please reveal to us if you are asking us to give our lives to you, to entrust our lives to you. Or having done so, if there's something in particular that you're asking us to do, some change of direction, some challenge, some some aspect of the future that we need to put in your hands and not carry in our own hands, Lord. Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." Lord, are we believing in you in general, but not in practice, like believing a parachute can save people and actually jumping out of an aeroplane wearing a parachute? Are we trusting, Lord, that you are a good father who gives good gifts and you're not out to trick us? Lord, are we trusting you to show us the right way? Do we believe Psalm 23, where it says, "You lead me by still waters. You guide me in paths of righteousness, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Do we trust you that you will enable us to speak when we need to, when we're challenged about our beliefs, when we're trying to speak to someone else in trouble? Do we trust that you will prompt us with the right thing to say? Do we trust you, Lord, that you still love us, even though you know that we're not perfect? Do we believe where your word says there is now condemnation, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Where it says, "Cast all your cares on you and you'll lift us up." Do we realize that you don't treat us as our sins deserve? Lord, do we trust you not to let go of us like a trapeze artist? Do we realize that Jesus has said no one can snatch us out of your hand? Do we trust you, Lord, not to leave us? Maybe other people have left us in the past for whatever reason, but do we trust you not to leave us? Do we believe your word where it says nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? When we think we might be being prompted to say something to someone else, do we trust that, Lord, it's you doing the prompting? And open our mouths and say it. Lord, I just pray that you'll continue speaking to us during the days and weeks as we do this series, Lord, that you will open our eyes to how trustworthy you are, how good you are, how every attribute that's so much higher than what we are, Lord, that we can put our trust in you, that you will help us and help us to see it as an exciting journey as you help us grow more in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we can help each other. I think if somebody has spoken to you a word from scripture, a word of knowledge, an encouragement, something wise, something that touches you, that is of the Lord, it's good to say to that person, thank you, that was really meaningful for me today, because that's how everyone's faith and trust is built up. Trust and faith grow when we make ourselves vulnerable and we lean on God and find him to be there for us. And we know that after everything else, God is our refuge and underneath of the everlasting arms. So he's there to catch us when we fall down, because we do keep falling down. And I think with reference to our Bible reading, it's just amazing that Jesus uses Peter. Peter's got a big heart, but like the rest of us, he falls down from time to time. He fell down in the water when he looked at the waves and Jesus brought him back up again. But he also fell down in denying Jesus just before the crucifixion. And yet Jesus came to him after he'd come back from the dead and chose to use him as the rock on which to build his church. And that is the amazing thing with God, that he knows how we do fail, all of us fail, and yet he still chooses to invest in us and trust us to carry on his work here in the world. So the final question really is, do we trust God even if we don't trust ourselves? We know what we can be like, but do we trust God to still work with us and be able to use us in his service? So we're going to finish by singing a couple of songs. The first one is Faithful One, and I chose that because it talks about God being so unchanging, and we do call out to him again and again, because we need to, because we keep falling down. But whenever we fall down, he lifts us up. So we're going to stand to sing.